Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
FM 104's Select Irish with Louise Ty.
Select Irish on FM 104, and I'm joined by Colin McInumera. Hello.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. Now, every week we chat to an Irish about the first gig they ever went to. What was yours?
Well, as a kind of like a rock and roll gig, I'm thinking it might have been the SFX, and I think it was a band called Mama's Boys. Yeah, they were kind of like, rockers.
Did you go on your own? Was this a gig you chose to?
I probably would have gone with some friends, yeah.
Okay.
But I would have been maybe 14 or 15 or something.
Yeah. At that point, had you started music yourself?
Yeah, I would have been playing since I was about seven, I think, when I started playing. Got to music lessons, and everybody in my family plays something as well, so.
Yeah. So what was it about the gig that stuck with you?
I suppose the volume, and also the whole idea of, like, you know, I suppose like a room full of rockers headbanging. It was quite an experience, you know, when you're in a that kind of proximity and intensity, it's amazing, isn't it?
Did you ever think of going into rock yourself?
Well, I suppose I kind of did in a way with the frames and
true.
Stuff. So, yeah, I ran off with the circus a couple of years later. So, I mean, it was only maybe it was probably the same year I would have started busking on Grafton Street anyway. So,
okay.
And it's through then that I bumped into Glenn and, you know, and then that the frames started a few years later then.
What was busking like at that time? Because I think it's changed quite a bit since then.
Well, I suppose the biggest change is that there is no amplification, which, you know, call me old-fashioned, but I would definitely favour, just as regards, it's not as intrusive and, you know, you don't take over. And also it means that you kind of, I think you need to be better to get people's attention, you know, so people lean in, and whereas now people kind of lean back. And I think, you could kind of have more buskers on the same street as well, because you wouldn't be kind of drowning each other out. So there was quite an organized kind of schedule as regards, you know, you'd kind of agree between different players that you'd, you know, play a certain pitch between certain times. And of course, there was plenty of drama as well. We got arrested a couple of times and everything.
What did you get arrested for?
Well, officially, I think it was part of the Vagrancy Act, which I think has been repealed since. But I think the classic thing is, because we used to draw so much of a crowd, is that, you know, you'd be causing an obstruction and then
blocking the roads.
Exactly. So the shop owners wouldn't be too happy about that. And also, apparently, the, you know, crowds draw pickpockets. And, you know, all that sort of thing. So they like to keep the river of the street moving. So that's generally the way it works.
Right. But for an act, that's actually a really nice thing to happen, I think, to have so many people want to hear you.
No, it was great. It was really, I mean, it was kind of, I think once I'd started busking, it was kind of a case of my interest in school, shall we say, fell by the wayside. So, I kind of experienced real life and I was keen to get into it, you know, full time.
At that point, you chose music, as did music choose you.
For sure. Yeah. It was definitely that. And also, there's something very powerful about playing with your peers.
Yeah.
So I was playing, our school band was a band called Keela, who are still going, obviously.
Yeah.
And all the lads, we were in school together. So Yeah, so just the whole idea of, like, we would have been going to Slogan, Feshes and stuff like that, and then busking at the weekend. And so it was a great, I think, and from having kids myself now, I just know that, you know, music kind of takes on a life of its own when you start playing with people your same age, you know, as opposed to kind of going to lessons and having to practice and all that.
And obviously you're chatting about busking and you've done a lot of music up to that point, but what was your own first gig?
Oh, well, my own solo gig, or I would have played with, I remember, it's funny, I remember opening up for playing with a singer-songwriter called Mark Dignam. Mm-hmm. And he had a band called the Green Band at the time. Mm-hmm. And we opened up for Aslan on the back of a truck in the Janelle Shopping Centre. And that in Finglas, I think. So that was in about 1987. Yeah, 1980, maybe 1988.
What did that feel like?
That was great, you know, it's amazing, you know, just to get the idea of just looking from that side of the curtain, you know. Yeah, it was very exciting. And obviously, Aslan were massive. They were probably at their peak fame at that time. So it was a great buzz. And then, you know, within 18 months of that, I started with the Frames then. And then we were, you know, within six months, we were over in London making our first record. So.
Amazing. Have you a favourite performance from all of them?
There's so many. It's kind of like different eras, you know, with different lineups. So you had, obviously, there's standout moments, like, you know, playing Witness and Electric Picnic, who had some great gigs there. Marley Park, I think, was our biggest show at the time. And then getting to play, I mean, over the years, we've played the Sydney Opera House and we played, kind of, you know, Radio City, and, you know, we played the Greek Theatre in LA and all these kind of iconic places. So it's been quite the journey.
Have you documented them for yourself, even?
I not really. I mean, actually, I have kept most of the passes. So I probably I have a kind of a big bag of my passes, which I promised to put into a frame at some point.
We all do that. We all have these boxes.
Yeah, exactly.
One day they'll end up somewhere else.
The clutter, yeah.
Yeah, yes. I think we all have one of those boxes for sure. But you're going to appear on Other Voices. It was back on Thursday night. You're going to be in episode 5 on March the 28th. But what else are you up to at the moment?
Well, what am I up to? I'm writing music, lots of music at the moment. So I'm kind of in my hidden away, in the garage sort of phase, where I'm writing music for an album inspired by a Colin McCann novel called The Paragon, which is set in Israel and Palestine, which is very topical. But it's a novel that came out a few years ago, and I actually traveled to the West Bank and Israel with Colin. And we met the men over there that he wrote the novel about. They're two breed fathers, one Palestinian and one Israeli, and they're best friends, and they travel the world telling their daughters stories. One was killed by a suicide bomber and the other killed by an Israeli soldier outside her school. And so they founded an organization called the Parent Circle, which is breed families from both sides of this community who get together, and as they put it, they use their grief as a weapon to end the occupation. So, you know, so it's very timely. So
that's what was that experience American. Like?
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah, it was very overwhelming. You know, we spent maybe 8 or 9 days traveling between and across the through Israel and Palestine, and met incredible people, and we went on visited refugee camps, the Aidu refugee camp, and the another one up in Nablus. We went on an amazing, spent the day, one of the days, with a group called Breaking the Silence, which is former members of the IDF, who basically came out and broke the silence, started telling the truth about what they used to do and what their job was when they were in the army. So it was very forensic. We went on a trip around the West Bank with them, and they showed us exactly how systemic the kind of settlement process is happening over there. So it's very, I think, as Irish people, with any sense of knowledge of history, of our own history, there are so many parallels.
Yeah.
As regards, but, you know, visitors coming in and setting up in your garden, and suddenly your garden isn't there anymore, and suddenly you're being pushed out of your house, and, you know, so, and not having any agency, and there being kind of, you know, no more than a Catholic not being able to own a horse once upon a time. There are all these similar echoes for Palestinians at the moment, you know.
Yeah, and stories that need to be told.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's with it, I think it's the biggest thing is a sense of responsibility to talk about. Yes, I think that's what I came away with. So it's important that we tell people.
Yeah. Is it nice to turn that into music?
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, I actually, when I was heading over there, I had no intention of, you know, I had no inkling that I was over actually there. And we were traveling with a group called Narrative 4, which Colm set up, which is an empathy organization that works with schools and across the world. So it's an international organization. So we were visiting schools in Palestine and Israel. And so I was there with that group. So I was actually just quite unexpectedly musically thunderstruck while I was in Jerusalem and up in Nablus as well. And so the first piece of music arrived when I was over there. And then since then, it's been a case of finding the time for it. So this is now it's finally the time 5 years later to finish the record.
When are we likely to hear it?
Well, hopefully by the end of the year. That's my plan, yeah.
Great. You also have another piece of work in motion, don't you?
Yeah, I'm working on there's a Theo Dorgan poem about Amargin. Amargin was the first poet in Ireland, you know, but he came from Spain back in the day. Now, this is kind of like in prehistory, in mythic times. So the Milesians came up from Spain and supplanted the Tuatha-Dé Danann. So the poem that Theo wrote is a dialogue between Amargin coming with the Milesians as an invader of Ireland and a poetess, the woman poet of the Tuatha-Dé Danann and Éireann, and they have a conversation, and through the conversation Éireann comes to the acceptance that Tuatha-Dé Danann will move to the underworld. So it's an amazing poem. So we did it at the Kilkenny Festival about 2 years ago. And so, I mean, the nature of theatre is that if you're not in the room, you know, it's like it never happened.
You kind of miss out, yeah.
So I got, thankfully, we applied for some funding. So we got some funding to turn it into a recording. So that'll be more available for people to hear. So we're working on that as well.
So where's the best place people can keep up to date with everything you're doing?
I suppose culamachanumara.com is, you know, I'm also socials, so, you know, you'll find me. Just look for a very long surname.
Brilliant.
Starting with Cullum. It's probably be me.
Excellent. And then you're also on Other Voices on RT2 on March 28th. Colm McInamara, thank you so much for chatting to us.
You're very welcome. Very welcome.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.